This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
The reason I'm prepared for this position is because I've been preparing for this all my life.
Our goal is to compete and really put a fun team on the court that really gets after it.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
We're very talented. I mean, when we go out there and compete at a high level and give a lot of effort, we can be a good team.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What is up and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, a Fan Talk Friday version of Locked On Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and partner at Apollo Media, all Houston, all original. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as at Apollo HOU. And here with us for another edition of Fan Talk Friday are our three guests, Braze, Holly, and Gilbert. How's it going, guys?
Great.
Hey, hanging in there.
Happy to be here.
All right. So really quick, you know, as we've done a couple of these Fan Talk Fridays now, let's just go ahead and get some brief, you know, really quick introductions. We'll start with Braze, then we'll go Holly, and then we'll go Gilbert last. So Braze, tell us a little bit about yourself, your Rockets fandom.
I'm born in Houston. I was raised in Missouri City. I went to high school not far from Daniel House and DJ Augustine. I lived in San Antonio for 5 years. They tried to get me to be a Spurs fan, but I'm loyal to the soil. So
I love it.
It's Rockets all day for me.
Love it. All right. That's good stuff. Holly, what about you?
So I was not born in Houston, but I've lived here vast majority of my life. So 10 plus years for sure. And so I became a Rockets fan. I'd watched Rockets games previously. I became a big fan during the 17-18 season. The moment we signed Gerald Green started like the super fandom for me. I know everyone listening loves Gerald, but I gotta say, I'm the president of his fan club.
I love it. No, we've got some respective presidents here. I'm the president of the Jay Sean Tate fan club. We've got the president of the Gerald Green fan club present. There's presidents for all the different Rockets fan clubs, and it's really, you know, it's really great that we've got two of them present on this very podcast. So that's a wonderful turnout. Now, Gilbert, what about you, man?
Yeah, born in Houston, a big Rockets fan, obviously. Earliest memories that I have actually are the 93-94, the back-to-back championships. Of course, I have the two posters from the Houston Chronicle still hanging up on my wall right now. I'm looking at them right now. So, you know, hoping we get back to those glory days here soon enough, and I don't doubt that we will.
I love it. I love it. So we've got a good mix of fandom in here. And I think that's always, you know, unique when we do these types of kind of crossover events and just trying to get different perspectives about the Houston Rockets. And I guess where I want to start today is kind of a broad reaching question, but I want to know from you guys, what are some of your favorite moment or maybe your favorite moment or favorite moments from this season specifically? You know, just a couple whether it's a standout play or something that happened off the court, obviously with, you know, this has been kind of a turbulent season. So the good moments have been, you know, a little bit few and far between, but there have still been quite a few of them this year. So Holly, why don't you start us off?
So I have two.
Okay.
My first one was when Jay Sean Tate and Harden were like hugging off the court after the Kings game, and like Harden like patted Tate on the back.
Oh.
That was like, I thought it was
heartstrings.
The second one. None of y'all are gonna agree with this. I'm a huge Victor Oladipo fan.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah. This is we're just gonna have to shut it down now. Like, I just game over on this pod. I'm shutting it down. All right. No. Go ahead.
So for me, I would say my other favorite Rockets memory is I was fortunate enough to attend the Blazers home game. And I remember watching Victor Oladipo live, and that was pretty cool.
Okay.
I never thought I was going to get to do that. And he was like on my list of players to watch live.
Yeah. Mr. Thingamajig, right?
Yeah. That's what I call him. I call him Thingamajig. He checked back in and I screamed Thingamajig, and my dad looked at me like I was crazy.
I love it. I love it. I love it. All right, Gilbert, what about you, man?
Well, what I would say is obviously it's been a little bit of a bumpy season this year, but one thing that I really did like to see was after we finally broke that losing streak that we'll try to avoid talking about the rest of the show, was how everyone rallied around the coach and really showed Silas support, because we all saw how it affected him. So it was great to see not only our players, but coaches from around the league call him and hear that they reached out to him and, you know, let him know that things are going to be better, that better days are ahead.
I love that. No, you're right. It was absolutely great to kind of see the team rally around him. Obviously, you know, he has been dealt a really, really tough hand, you know, in his first head coaching gig. And so that's, you know, it was great to see from an emotional perspective. And I think that that's something that I've tried to drum home on this very podcast is, you know, it's so important to think of these players, not just as, you know, they're not 2K players. They're not, you know, virtual. They're not fake. These are real human beings with thoughts and emotions and complicated feelings about things. And that 20 game losing streak was tough. And so to be able to snap that and see the expression, see the excitement on everybody's face and see the relief from Steven Silas, that was definitely a standout moment. So I agree with you there, Gilbert. Braze, what do you got for us?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that a little bit. The John Wall Silas hug was epic. I don't think that I wasn't prepared for that. That was pretty sweet. But I've honestly, the thing that's gotten me most excited is some of these KJ Martin blocks. It's just so fun. Some of his slams are just incredible. And I think that's given me a little bit of life in such a interesting season.
Absolutely. The KJ Martin has, you know, like a hit list of like 7 foot plus players, and he's just tagging every single one of them that he can. I was really, really expecting him to.
I got a question, Jackson. What were for everyone? Yeah, what was everyone's favorite KJ Martin block?
I liked the Boban one just because I love the rivalry. With the Mavericks.
Boban one was my favorite as well, because I have really close family friends. I'm actually really close friends with a Mavericks fan, surprisingly.
I love that. No, so yeah, a little bit of competitive rivalry there. What about you, Gilbert? Which one was your favorite?
You know, I would say I like the Boban block, but I'm a fan of Boban. I mean, who can't be? He's like such
Boban.
A nice guy.
Boban's great. I want to like go to dinner with Boban.
That would be fun, absolutely. But what I would say is, correct me if I'm wrong, but did he not get Gobert? Was Gobert not his first big block that he got?
And of he course, got Gobert, was... I think, after Boban.
So it was Boban first. And I think I might have to lean Boban as well, just simply for the call from Craig Ackerman saying, you know, KJ Martin climbed Mount Boban and met him at the
right.
That is hands down one of the greatest calls ever. But Gilbert, I will give you, I do also, I mean, the Gobert one is right there, if only because Gobert also got stuffed by David Nwaba in that same game. So it was not only did he get blocked by KJ Martin, but then, you know, a little bit later in the game, he got blocked from behind by David Nwaba. So Rudy
didn't
Gobert got
also
stuffed twice.
Didn't you also speak the Gobert one into existence? I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure you did, Jackson. I'm pretty sure you did that.
I think I did. I think I did on Twitter saying, like, if, you know, if I could just get like KJ Martin to block Rudy Gobert, and then he did it. And I think my reaction was very suitable to that when it happened, because I started freaking out because he actually, like, you know, spoke it into existence, and KJ Martin delivered, which was absolutely incredible. So I think that KJ Martin has been definitely a highlight for this Rockets season.
The KJ Martin blocks, like,
I think the KJ Martin tape team up blocks have been
the one on
special.
Anthony Edwards. Oh,
it's like they just seem to fit very nicely next to each other on some of those blocks.
Absolutely. You know, and it feels really bad that, you know, we had kind of Jayshon Tate as the starter, and then we had David Nwaba kind of coming off the bench, and you had two of these, you know, very gritty defensive minded guys. And it, you know, kind of feels like KJ Martin has helped kind of fill that void that David Nwaba has left, not being in the rotation
absolutely.
Anymore. Mm-hmm. And it'll be really interesting to see what direction the Rockets go with David Nwaba this offseason. But that brings us to kind of our next topic that I want to talk about with you guys here in just a moment, is I want to find out from you guys, which Rockets do you want to see back next season? And we're going to get there in just a quick moment after a message from our friends over at Sport Trade. Sporttrade is where fantasy sports meets the stock market. It's pretty amazing. Sporttrade takes fantasy to the absolute next level. It's kind of like Robinhood, but for fantasy sports. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players, just like real stocks. Finally, a fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. Making money with Sporttrade is as simple as player values rising and falling based on two factors. One, their statistical performance in each game as compared to their projected fantasy points in said game. The more points scored, the higher their value goes. Two, good old supply and demand. The more demand a player has, the higher their value goes. When you're ready to buy shares, pick that penny stock in a rookie with huge upside, or go grab that blue chip vet who's always a solid performer. So to check it out, simply go to sporttrade.com and watch the How It Works video, then sign up to get started. Sign up today at sporttrade.com and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in the game at sporttrade.com. Quick message from our friends over at rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, which doesn't exactly seem fair, right? RockAuto.com's prices are the exact same for everybody, and they're always reliably low. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even brand new carpet. So whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything that you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, the RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And be sure, this is the important part, be sure to write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Did you know that you can get more of the sports news that you need in less time with our brand new Locked On Today podcast? Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news that you need in just under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. Continuing our Fan Talk Friday discussion, and we are diving into this new topic of discussion, which is who do you want to see back on this Rockets team from this year's team? And I think there's some very obvious answers here, which I'm just going to go ahead and get out of the way for us here, right? And that's the very obvious four, and that's Christian Wood, Jayshon Tate, Kevin Porter Jr., and KJ Martin. I think we're all in agreement that we want those four guys back, right?
Yes.
Agreed.
Okay. All right, cool. We're just a uniform across the board. I love that. All right. Now, this is where things are going to get a little interesting, is which of the fringe players, which of the role players, which of the guys that are, you know, maybe some of the veterans on this team, who would you like to see back out of, you know, the guys currently on the roster? And I'll actually give this a tweak, because I got to give Gilbert his props. This was his question and that he wanted to spend some time talking about. So Gilbert, I'm going to tweak it a little bit. Not only do I want to know which players you guys want to see back for sure, which is the one player that you'd like to see the Rockets get rid of this offseason? So, Gilbert, why don't you start us off?
Oh, I was having this conversation today with some friends. Avery Bradley, get this man off of my team, please. I do not want him taking minutes away from the development of Kevin Martin Jr. or Nwabo once he comes back. So get him off my team, please.
I love it. I love it. And what about the guys that you do want to actually have stay here?
Now, I would absolutely love to keep Eric Gordon and have him continue to be our sixth man off the bench and back up KPJ and Wall, whoever else might be starting next year. You know, I think it'd be great to continue to have a consistent scorer off the bench, someone who can handle the ball, you know, depending on what happens with DJ Augustine. But I would definitely like to keep him if he wants to stay. I think he'd be a great asset.
Okay. All right. So we've got a vote here for Eric Gordon. I like it. That one was a little bit surprising to me. Braze, what do you got?
I think, you know, I love David Nwaba. I think that was a huge get. I'd love to see him stick around. Sterling Brown has been extremely surprising to me. Love him. Love the way he fits on the team. And then this might shock you, but Daniel House, just seeing his development. I know he's got a lot of shenanigans and it's lit. And we've seen some of the things he's done off the court, but I think the past few games we're seeing kind of, you know, maybe not his ceiling, but what the potential is there. And I think he's really developed a lot over the last year. And for his contract size. I really like him too.
He's definitely a steal with where his contract is, and for his, you know, the production that he actually brings. I'm in complete agreement with you there, even though it's a bit of a sleeper pick.
Right. The floor is low, but, you know, I think he's developing into quite the player. And then, of course, I love both DJs. I'd like to see them stick around. And Olenek, I've never been an Olenek fan. And somehow he's won me over. So
he's been pretty impressive in his short stint, albeit he hasn't been able to hit a single three the past two games. It looks like he may have emptied the clip in his first outing as a Rocket, right, shooting 4 of 6 and then completely forgot how to shoot threes. But he's definitely been a bit of a surprise here. Now, Holly, who do you want to see gone and who do you want to see return next season?
So we can get rid of Olenek. We can get rid of Bradley.
With zero hesitation, it just immediately says, get these men off my team. So at least you and Gilbert are in complete agreement as far as getting rid of Avery Bradley.
The only thing is with Olenek, I just don't like him because I'm a Kevin Love fan and he ruined Kevin Love's shoulder.
That's fair. He did have that, you know, I remember that play vividly.
6 years ago. Yes. Am I over it? No.
Yeah, I feel like Kelly Olenek is one of those guys that you hate to play against, but, you know, you love to have on your team because he does the things that need to be done.
Absolutely.
So get rid of Bradley, I guess. Get rid of Olenek. Get rid of keep Gordon. Keep tentatively. I would say I'm fine with keeping Brown, Nwaba, Augustine, and then I don't know about the other DJ. I haven't seen enough. Only thing is, my Dream Rockets offseason is we get Gerald Green. If we get Gerald Green, Augustine's given up his number.
I was doing a read for something. I was talking about something, and I was talking about DJ Augustine rocking number 14 in place of Gerald Green. And I know that, you know, everybody, I'm assuming you as well, Holly, felt some kind of way about seeing DJ Augustine rock out with the number 14. And I actually had to look it up because I was wondering off the top of my head, I didn't know if 14 had just historically been DJ's number, which it turns out it has. I don't know if that it has some like semblance, you know, relating to Houston sports, why DJ and Gerald both rock number 14. I'll have to do some research there and try and figure that out. But I do appreciate, and I think that Bray spoke about it a little bit, Sterling Brown, but I think he's been, if I just have one person that I pick, I think Sterling Brown has definitely been honestly maybe the most surprising player to me this season, because I thought he was kind of going to be a fringe signing, like let's just, you know, round out the roster, that kind of thing. And he has played very well this season. He was buried on the end of the Bucks bench last year, and he came in, and obviously Jayshon Tate would be a really easy one to say, oh, I had no idea what he was capable of. But I actually did like my fair like research on Jayshon Tate in the offseason. So like, I kind of knew, I was like, I think this kid can really hoop. And right. So he didn't really, you know, surprise me as much as I would say Sterling Brown has. And the biggest part about Sterling Brown for me is he fits the timeline. He's 24 years old. And if the Rockets can lock him down for the next, you know, 2 or 3 seasons, whether it's with a portion of the MLE, or if they decide to use the biannual exception, you know, hashtag Bay, if they decide to do something like that to retain him, then I think he could be, you know, very much an important part of this quote unquote young core that the Rockets have in Wood, Tate, KPJ, and KJ Martin, in addition to Sterling Brown.
His rebounding is something that's been so fun. It's like he just pops out of nowhere, has the ball, and you look at the end of the game and you're like, how did he out rebound some of these, you know, 6'10 players?
Definitely. Yeah. No, he hustles out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've got him listed at 6'5", and that's one thing that I've am wondering is, you know, what position they see. Well, I guess it kind of really doesn't matter anymore because, you know, we all play more of a positionless basketball now, but you know, putting him out there in a forward position, he's definitely impressed. I hope he sticks around too.
Yeah, and I think it's so important, you know, the distinctions in today's NBA, right? It doesn't matter who's the one, who's the two, who's the 3, 4, 5, whatever. It's, you know, you've got bigs, you've got wings, and you've got guards, or even better, you've got ball handlers, you've got I guess wings are still there. And then you've got like bigs or, you know, kind of like rim running bigs. I'm still kind of in my like D'Antoni-isms as far as like how he viewed his offense, right? You've got the rim runners, you've got the wings, and you've got the ball handlers. And that's how D'Antoni viewed his system. And the entire NBA is kind of skewing that direction anyways with that type of just systematic approach to their team. But Sterling Brown has definitely been, you know, a pretty big surprise this season. But I guess the other area that I definitely want to dive into with you guys, which again, you know, I talked to you guys about this before we even went live on the podcast. And so it has a chance for it to be a train wreck or it could be really, really fun. But in this third and final segment, I want to give you guys a chance to grill me. I've been asking y'all some questions and we've been covering some topics here, but I want to give you guys a chance to hit me with any questions that you guys have about the Rockets. And we're going to get there in just a quick moment after a message from our friends over at Built Bar. Look, we've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. And there's a reason for that, right? It's not a traditional protein bar. It's like a candy bar that is jam-packed with protein. And these bars, look, they're low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. They're the best protein bars on the market. But now it's time to find out which Built Bar is the best Built Bar. It is Built Bar Madness. And we have the final round, the championship round, of which there is a two-day voting window, is cookie dough chunk against coconut brownie chunk. And my favorite, the coconut brownie chunk, you just can't go wrong with it. It's the best Built Bar there is. So go to builtbar.com or go to @bar_built on Twitter to cast your vote. And when you're at the website, remember to use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your very next order. Again, that's code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your very next order at builtbar.com. And be sure to check back to see who won the final matchup and who will ultimately claim the title of best tasting protein bar. Quick message from our friends over at betonline.ag. Look, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and NHL are all in full swing, and MLB has finally returned as well. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. You can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's totally free to sign up. Head over to the website and sign up today using promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, our Fan Talk Friday version of Locked On Rockets. And as we're kind of entering this final segment, we're going to change things up. We're going to change the pace here. We're going to kind of turn the table and have me be the recipient of some questions here, which I think could, again, this could be a little fun and it might be a train wreck, but I think it's going to be fun. So who wants to try and hit me with a question first? Now, this isn't going to be like, I don't want it to be like 20 questions. Like, I don't need y'all to like embarrass me here, but like whatever y'all want to talk about. I guess this is like sort of like an AMA almost, like whatever topics we want to get into, y'all hit me. Let's go.
I've got a question.
Okay.
And this is, I know how big you are on KPJ. I think as a fandom, we all are with his potential. Do you take, now I'm not going to ask you if you take him over Zion or Ja Morant, but if you redraft the 2019 draft, do you take him over RJ Barrett?
I think, yeah, pretty easily over RJ Barrett. Yeah.
All right.
I think that's, yeah, I like that though. That's an interesting, you know, doing those redraft kind of questions are always fun, especially when the further and further back you go, because then you have like the entire careers of players to look at and really be like, oh, well,
right.
You know, how did so-and-so go? Yeah, exactly. Gilbert, what do you got for me?
Well, I'm going to step away from the realm of the Rockets here, and I just want to get your take on some of these newest Marvel shows, because I know we have some fun with that every now and then on Twitter.
I love it, yeah.
What are you more of a fan of? They're both great shows. Obviously, we've just gotten started on Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but are you more of a Falcon and the Winter Soldier fan or WandaVision?
I think that, and I've kind of, there hasn't been as much, so I think it's kind of a two-part thing, is the hype surrounding WandaVision, it being the first Marvel product that had been dropped in so long, there was this buildup and it was like almost like a dam collapsing where we were so excited to finally have more Marvel content to consume. And then there was also kind of this, this mystique around the show, because we knew that it was sitcom based. We knew the premise of it, but we also knew that there was definitely a larger plot line at play. And every episode, right, we're kind of peeling away the layers and learning more and more. And so that kind of became a really interesting draw for a lot of people. I mean, I stayed up till 2 a.m. every single night to watch the episodes drop. And that was definitely something that my body regrets. And, you know, Thursday Night Jackson was having lots of fun. Friday morning Jackson hated Thursday Night Jackson for all that mess. But I think right now I'd still have to lean WandaVision, but I think it's a little too early to tell with Falcon and Winter Soldier. I will say that I'm very impressed with where they've gone with it so far. They're tackling some really tough topics, about injustice in society and things like that. Especially in episode 2, they kind of highlighted that with, I won't get into too many spoilers here, but it's been a good ride so far these first 2 episodes. And as we're recording this Fan Talk Friday on a Thursday evening, because that's how podcasts work, I am going to be staying up again and watching Falcon and Winter Soldier tonight. So that'll be tons of fun.
You and me both, my friend, you and me both.
And I got to ask Gilbert, just while we're on this train of thought, which one, how do you feel about him?
Well, obviously we only are a couple episodes into Falcon and the Winter Soldier. It's more of what we, I think, have come to expect from Marvel products. But I got to tell you, I was blown away week by week watching WandaVision, just with all of the, various things they did with that show. Comedy, horror, mystery. So you can go on and on. But I think you're right. You know, we were so starved for, at least I know I was, for new Marvel additions. But that show was just great. Excited to see what they do with those characters in the future. And I'm sure that Falcon and the Winter Soldier is going to be just as good.
Can't wait to launch my new podcast, Locked on MCU. It's going to be a total banger.
I'll be here.
Holly, what do you got?
What if you had to pick, like, let's say we delete the Rockets from existence, what would be your team?
Oh, ooh, wow.
That's a good one.
Oh, this is good. It's kind of like tough.
Share mine first, I'll share mine.
I'll go me first and then we'll circle back, because I do actually have a secondary team that I haven't followed closely in recent years. But when I was first really getting into the NBA, mid to early 2000s, and I was first, kind of discovering my fandom, Stevie Franchise, Rockets, Yao Ming, all of that, I really started to fall in love as well with the Orlando Magic. And so when Tracy McGrady became a Houston Rocket, I was both exhilarated and very disappointed at the same time. And again, I never followed the Magic like closely, but in my head, it was like, oh, well, there's 2 conferences. So I'll have a Western Conference team, the Rockets. Obviously, I'm Houston born and bred, Houston to my core. But I need a team in the East to kind of like root for, like as I'm watching the Eastern Conference playoffs and all that. So the Magic were actually my team for years. And then I kind of had this disconnect where when it became kind of like Yao and Dwight were like centers 1A, 1B in the NBA, as far as like best centers go, I kind of had this like grudge against Orlando, because I was like, no, like I can't cheer for the team where people are actually like saying Dwight is better than Yao. Like, no. And so that was kind of my thing.
But then what happened when Dwight became a Rocket?
I was disappointed. That's what happened. Yeah. I was let down when Dwight became a Houston Rocket, because for all of the reasons, right? There's a reason that whenever you see like the Legacy of Bigs poster, mentioned on Twitter, you see all the Bigs and then you get to Dwight's name and it just says redacted. All right. And there's a reason for that, is because Dwight definitely disappointed in his tenure as a Houston Rocket. But Holly, who would you pick as your other team?
Y'all can obviously tell.
Oh, I love it. Okay, the Grizzlies.
The Grizzlies.
Now, what's the reasoning behind that?
So I have family in Memphis, and so I want to go to college there. I also am obsessed with Penny Hardaway in the University of Memphis college basketball program.
They've got a great college program. I remember being in Memphis a couple years ago for the AAC tournament when the Cougars were there, and it was awesome. And
I don't know why I like have fallen in love with the city of Memphis. It's kind of disturbing.
All right. Well, I love that. And I love,
I actually got this at a check your local Valero and other gas stations. I got this at a gas station for $10.
Pretty good snack, I'd say.
Yeah, I didn't know that they sold you know, Funko Pops at gas stations. I'll have to be keeping my eye out the next time
they
I'm there for
Luka
a fill up.
And Giannis and Durant and all the guys. I always wanted an NBA Funko Pop, but I wanted a Rockets one. But the only Rockets Funko Pops are Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden.
I'm
not about to buy those.
I definitely, my stepmom, you know, bless her. She's amazing. I love her dearly. But she bought me a LeBron James Funko Pop by accident, thinking it was James Harden. didn't see like the fat, like Lakers logo emblazoned,
yeah.
You know, she saw, and it was like LeBron, but it was kind of like with his like new like beard that is like, you know, elongated from his face.
Okay, the beard makes sense.
And so that was what kind of threw her off, is she saw the beard. She was like, oh, that's James Harden. That's the beard. And so she got it for me. And I'm like, so it's actually sitting on my shelf over there, which is all kinds of fun. But
similar story. My cousin, I love him dearly, knows nothing about sports. We did a NBA bracket prediction. He picked the Blazers to win the championship.
Ooh. That's bold and also probably a little silly, but
he'd never watched sports.
Yeah, that's
so he texted me after I had an interaction with Gerald once, and he goes, "Oh, how was talking about Draymond Green?"
Oh,
burn!
Ooh. And that's like the biggest insult to me, because you're naming my favorite player and like my least favorite player.
Yeah, that's definitely he needs to know who he's talking to as the president of the Gerald Green fan club for sure. All right, guys. Well, I'm ready for we probably got enough time if y'all want to try to hit me with one or two more questions in here. See how this rolls out.
Is there a Jackson? Do you have an idea of what we can do with John Wall's contract?
I really wish that amnestying was still a thing. So there's that. No, it's tough because you look at the NBA landscape and, you know, people try to say all the time that a contract is quote unquote untradeable. There's no such thing. Contract is untradeable, but John Wall's is pretty damn close to being untradeable. And if I had
said that with Westbrook,
we did. And so that's very fair, but you know, if I did have to venture a guess as to say, you know, right here, you know, we can pull the receipts later on, you know, hashtag old takes exposed. If I had to venture a guess as to say whether or not John Wall played out the remainder of this contract as a Houston Rocket, or if he was traded before the contract was finished, I would say that he's probably going to play out the remainder of this deal. Now, with that being the caveat of, I think that he's potentially a buyout candidate, not to the level of Victor Oladipo being a buyout candidate, a la, you know, Keith Smith and, you know, all that good stuff. Right. But no, you know, I genuinely think that it wouldn't be like next season, but maybe, you know, getting that final year. I am hard pressed to imagine him turning down his player option. I think he just automatically opts into it immediately. But I think maybe that final year, he could potentially be a buyout candidate to, you know, recoup some of that money, get signed to a new team. Potentially there's some scenarios out there that make sense for him, because at the end of the day, John Wall's a competitor and probably doesn't want to be in the midst of a rebuild. And I don't necessarily know if the Rockets are going to be to that level of contention within the next two seasons.
Right. It does seem, it's interesting to me how much responsibility it seems like, you know, he's got within the organization. I know the Athletic article that came out today, Kelly put out, said that that Stone, Silas, and John Wall called Cleveland to talk to Kevin Porter Jr. as soon as they heard that, you know, there was trouble there. So that's interesting to me that he's got, you know, it seems like a lot of responsibility within the organization and maybe sticks around for that type of leadership.
And it's I think that that's definitely what the organization would want from him. It's about whether or not that's what John Wall also wants, right? Is if he can buy into the mentality of that Chris Paul-esque mentorship role, then by all means, I'm absolutely here for it. He's definitely the type of guy that can be that locker room leader, can be the vocal leader, can be the mentor to guys like KPJ, like Christian Wood, somebody who led his own team for the better part of a decade. It makes total sense that they would want to have him teach the young guys how that process works. But again, he's also, you know, at this stage in his career, is he willing to do that, or does he want to still, you know, compete for a title while he's still kind of, I don't want to say in his prime, but like,
yeah,
you know, while he's still got years left at this top tier kind of level, where he could conceivably be maybe the second or third option on a team really gunning for a title.
Let's say here's the mountain. This is prime. This is done. John Wall's like here.
Well, and for the Holly, you got to remember we're on a podcast, right? You can't just illustrate with your hands. Otherwise it's doing nothing for the listeners. No, but you're okay. He's on the downslope of the mountain. Unfortunately, he's on the wrong side of 30. He has come back from a pair of serious injuries, and he's having a really, really great, he's having a really, really great comeback. But at the end of the day, you know, is another team going to want to eat that size of a contract to actually, you know, accept his services, whatever level they may be at for the remainder of his contract or of his career for that matter? Because, you know, similar to Russell Westbrook, he's going to be a guy who isn't exactly going to age very gracefully. I think he'll still age a little bit better than Russ will, but it's still going to be a little rough once you get to that last year in that Supermax contract and you're paying him, what is it, $47 million? Well, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
That's just a painful number to be paying to a 32-year-old John Wall. It hurts me to think about it.
It's only 2 more years. Yeah. Was what people don't realize. It's 2 more seasons.
Basically. It hurts, especially when I see him put up those 3-pointers and oof. And especially if he's going to be overtaken by, KPJ, and we'll see what happens in the draft. If we land I was crossing my fingers there, everyone. If we land a top pick and we take another guard, who knows? Who knows what happens next year, 2 years from now?
Also, Gilbert, I got to say, you picked it up really quick. I had to call Holly out on doing her mountain illustration with her hands on our little Zoom call right here. And Gilbert did the fingers crossed and then immediately caught himself. And he said, oh, nope, I got to illustrate to the listeners what's actually going on since the video format is unavailable. But guys, I think we've had a...
I had one more question.
No, go for it. Yeah, go for it, Holly. What you got?
Can you tell us about your cat?
Sure. No, yeah. So I don't post him a lot on Twitter. I've posted him a couple times there. He's all over my Instagram. He's like half my Instagram posts. But I do have a cat named Dax, Daxter. So Dax for short. I love him dearly. He is definitely my world. He's posted up on the couch as we're doing this recording right now. And the story behind his name is there was a very prominent video game series on PlayStation 2 back in the day called Jak and Daxter. And it was a platforming game and it's a very fun game. And then the first iteration of it, the original Jak and Daxter, the precursor legacy, was a platformer and great game. It means you're jumping around, collecting stuff, all that stuff. It was fun. The storyline was great. And then it turned into a shooting game in the second, in the sequel, which was amazing. And, you know, my parents had no idea that it became a shooting game filled with guns and violence. And so they bought me the second one, not knowing this. And it was awesome because little old me was not allowed to play shooting games when I was a kid. That was his kind of when I got him, he had a previous name. And so I renamed him as we brought him into the family. And I was determined that one day I would own a cat, an orange cat. Well, he's kind of blonde, but he's orangish, and name him Dax so that we could be Jak and Daxter, just like Jak and Daxter in the video game, because the main character's name is Jak and he's got blonde hair, and his sidekick is his best friend named Daxter. However, Daxter gets transformed into an orange ocelot at the beginning of the very first game. That's how the whole story starts off, is he falls into a vat of what is called eco, and the eco transforms him into an ocelot. And so they spend the entire game trying to get him changed back so that he can be normal. And then they wind up not being able to change him back. So he stays as an ocelot forever. So that's my story about Dax and his name and why I have him and why I love him so much. He's amazing.
There's some video game knowledge for you folks. That was a great game, by the way.
We need to have a Locked On Cats podcast.
A Locked On Cats podcast. All right. Well, we will. I will definitely send that up the pipeline to my boss, David Locke, and see if we can get started on some of these alternative versions of the Locked On Network. Locked On MCU and Locked On Cats coming to a podcast network near you. But guys, I really appreciate y'all taking the time to be here to hang out today for our third edition of Fan Talk Friday. So why don't we go down the line and you guys just let our listeners know where they can track you down at. Probably just Twitter handles will do. So why don't we start Braze, then Holly, then Gilbert.
I'm Braze Madison on Twitter.
I believe I'm at GGreenFan1 because I'm the number one Gerald Green fan.
Nice. Yeah. And on Twitter, my handle is Gilbert spelled backwards and then forwards. TREBLIGILBERT.
I love it. Gilbert, thank you for that explanation because I was trying to read your Twitter handle and I was like, I don't know what this guy's name is right off the top. Yeah. And I assumed it was Gilbert because yeah. I saw a Gilbert in there somewhere and I was like, okay, well, I'm going to hope it's Gilbert. So thank you for joining Zoom with like your actual name and not like your backwards Twitter handle because that would have thrown me for a loop. I would have felt really awkward asking what your name was. But I really, again, appreciate you guys stopping by for this edition of Fan Talk Friday. Hope you had a good time. And to our listeners, hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode. Now, really quickly, I've got one more message from our friends over at Sport Trade. Sport Trade is where fantasy sports meets the stock market. It's kind of like Robin Hood, but for fantasy sports. And to check it out, to kind of understand what they're trying to accomplish here and how exciting this opportunity is, just go to sporttrade.com, watch the How It Works video, and then sign up to get started. So sign up today at sporttrade.com and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports, and you will be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in the game at sporttrade.com. And with that, that's going to conclude today's episode of Locked On Rockets. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.